Microsoft had beat Amazon to a massive Pentagon contract, but a judge says not so fast. From Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio. Amazon has won a round in its fight with Microsoft over a huge Pentagon contract. A federal judge says the Department of Defense has to stop work on the project while Amazon appeals. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is in Washington. What are these tech giants fighting over?
Well, it's called the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Cloud, or JEDI. This is an overhaul of the Pentagon's cloud computing technology, so it'll be easier to access U.S. military data in remote places. David, this is worth up to $10 billion. And last year, the Pentagon awarded this huge contract to Microsoft, and Amazon appealed.
So now what happens?
The judge ruled that Microsoft can't get started on the work until Amazon has time to appeal. We asked George Washington University law professor Steve Schooner whether Amazon will succeed. Here's what he said.
A judge would not stop this procurement if they didn't think that Amazon had at least pled or alleged a case where they would be entitled to a remedy and didn't think they had a reasonable chance of winning.
Amazon's main argument here is the Pentagon awarded the contract to Microsoft because of improper pressure from President Trump, who doesn't like Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Bezos owns the Washington Post. Its coverage of Trump has been critical at times.
Nancy, thank you. There's news: a linchpin of the European economy flatlined as 2019 came to a close. The German economy didn't grow at all in the October to December quarter, this amid the global trade tensions and before coronavirus asserted itself. The S&P future is up 0.2% now. China and the U.S. will both reduce tariffs on exports today, a piece of the Phase 1 trade deal, but now there's that virus. Marketplace's Andy Euler's here.
The Trump administration's chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, told Fox Business last week that the, quote, export boom from the trade deal will take longer because of the Chinese virus, unquote. Mark Williams at Capital Economics says that export boom Kudlow's talking about could take a while.
We're tracking how quickly people are going back to work after the shutdown last week, and the evidence so far is that hardly anyone is.
Phase one of the trade deal was supposed to reopen the Chinese market to American farmers, but they're still not sending anything over to China because demand and buying power just aren't there. Williams says soy farmers are especially anxious to get their produce back into the large Chinese market. Ruman Choi at Emory University says we can look at the SARS outbreak in 2003 for reference, but
I would predict the impact of coronavirus on the Chinese economy to be broader and more profound compared to SARS.
More than 1,000 people have died as a result of the coronavirus, which was first identified in December in Wuhan, the capital of China's Hubei province. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Now to what we call Econ Extra Credit, where we're revisiting basic economics on a weekly basis, because understanding how the money game is played can tell you a lot about why the world runs this way. Winter into spring here, I'm reading a free Econ 101 textbook, chapter a week through April. This week, it's all about game theory, strategies to help us make better decisions and better predict what others will do. To help, the book has a link to a clip from a TV show in Britain called
Welcome back to Golden Balls.
Yeah, Golden Balls is the show's name. Contestants are using grapefruit-sized balls to choose between two options. Split, as in split the jackpot of the equivalent of $17,000. Or each could choose not split, but the word steal, as in I want to steal all the prize money for myself.
They are the most important Golden Balls of the game.
Two contestants, Ibrahim and Nick, negotiate before secretly deciding to pick either split or steal. If it's one split and one steal, Steele gets the whole 17 grand for himself. Game theory in action, but listen to Nick's clever strategy.
Ibrahim, I want you to trust me. 100% I'm going to pick the steel ball.
Got it. Nick says he's going to steal no matter what. Steal or split, poor Ibrahim would get nothing. Except here's the brilliance. Nick offers to split the jackpot with Ibrahim later if Ibrahim lets Nick win it all. Sounds nuts.
You're going to take steel.
Yeah.
I'm going to take split.
Yeah.
So you take the money.
And I will split it with you.
After the show.
Yeah.
Ibrahim should just trust Nick to split the money as a side deal outside the TV studio.
Why don't we just both pick split?
I'm not going to pick split. I'm going to steal, Ibrahim. Honestly, 100% I'm going
to
steal.
It's in your nature to steal.
No, I'm honest, and I'm going to tell
you're an honest
I am. That's why I'm telling you I'm going to steal.
Ibrahim is in a jam, but let's spare the suspense. Ibrahim goes for it and splits. But, plot twist, Nick has also picked split, not steal, as promised.
Yes, congratulations, you have both split and each received £6,800.
Why did you put me through that, he says. But it's a win-win, jackpot divided equally. You wonder why all future contestants don't pull this.
I always wondered whether the show just stopped after that.
Homa Zargami, an economics professor at Barnard College who advises a nonprofit called Core Econ that created the free textbook that points to this TV game show to explore game theory.
There are these layers of thinking you have to do of what's best for me to do, what's best for this other person to do, what do they think I'm going to do, you know, and you can go back and forth in that way. What The Economist is doing when looking at these models is trying to boil down particular features that you can then apply to multiple different situations.
Situations like how corporations react to taxation or why your roommates don't do their dishes. Join me for Econ Extra Credit, where I go back to basics, revisiting key economic themes every week. You can participate as well. Sign up at marketplace.org. And happy Valentine's Day. In Los Angeles, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.